Let us explore the Bible together on Glorious Morning Study Hour on AWR SID Media, from broadcast to baptism.
So in our scripture spotlight, we are currently going through the Discover Bible Study Guide, lesson number 2, Everything Made Has a Maker. And we want to find out who that maker is. We've been making a case through the lesson here that actually the maker of all things, his name is Jehovah. I think it is John chapter 1, where in verse 3 that says, nothing was made that was not made by him. So join us as we look more into this conversation. When we look at the breathtaking, precise handiwork of the cosmos, right, from the moon's perfect orbit to the fine-tuned laws that keep the stars from collapsing, we are often told it's just a cosmic accident, right? Time plus matter plus chance resulted in what we see today. Now, today, we are asking, is the universe a random explosion, or is it a giant celestial arrowhead pointing straight at a creator? This discusses how modern science is increasingly finding God's fingerprints in the sky. And leading out in this discussion this week is our sister, beloved sister, Martha Masinja. Good morning to you, Sister Martha, and thank you so much for joining us. Appreciating you coming through.
Hey, Derek, thank you so much. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. Thank you, by the way, for taking the time to be with us. And thank you for taking us through this lesson right here. We are truly, truly honored to have you here. Now, we are jumping into the second episode of our lesson this week. Everything made has a maker. How can we cultivate a deeper sense of awe by appreciating God's creative power?
Yeah, thank you so much for that question. And I also want to make a quick comment to say it's very possible that, like I think I mentioned it yesterday, to say we do not even need to take for granted that there are people who do not appreciate God's creative power mm-hmm. as we do now, since we have been brought to light, you know, just like Paul would say, I was young and now I'm old, now I'm able to see what things are. Yeah. But we do not need to forget that there are others, and I'm speaking like this because, you know, sometimes we might use this English to say the starry sky, the blue what, the stars and the what, but there are people in different places who do not even know these words that we are using. And we also need to meet them at their very, very points of where they're able to understand, to say, actually, did you know that the trees that you use for firewood were made by God? Something like that. So I want to say that, how can we cultivate, like the question you said, how can you cultivate a deeper sense of awe by appreciating God's creative power? Number one, this generation seems to be so detached from nature.
Yeah.
We can agree to that. And Mrs. White, I really thank God for her writing. She says something very intriguing. She says, parents should ensure that at a young age, their children must be let out to wander in nature. Why does she say children at a young age? Because it's at a young age that we actually ask a lot of questions. Yeah. Why is this there? Why is the bird flying? Why is that? Why is this? Why is that? And just today, my ancestor was even asking me, so Martha, so the birds, why do they make that noise? You get it?
Yeah.
To her, she wakes up in the morning, she expects maybe to be quiet, but like the birds are really making that noise. And then you really have to understand, you really have to explain such things to a young age to say, you know, it's God who gave them those songs. You know, they are songs. And they should be like, no, they are not songs. That's noise you get. So how do we appreciate God's creative power at a very young age? I think we need to, as parents, it's high time we remove, say, like gadgets in our children's hands, because we now want to create a generation that will appreciate God's creative power. The reason why we have a lot of atheists, a lot of people who do not believe even in God, is because at a young age they were not exposed to the power of nature, you know, and what nature can do. And even scientists have proven that, to say, just finding yourself in nature, well, some scientists say otherwise, but just finding yourself in nature, looking at the trees, looking at the flowers, the water as it is moving, just those things, like they soothe your soul, they soothe your mind, even mental health wise. I think those who are very poor advocates of mental health can attest to say you just begin to have a deeper sense of awe. Is it awe or are we? Of appreciating the creative, yes, awe. Of appreciating the creative power of God just by exposing ourselves to nature. But mostly we are indoors.
Nice.
You know, we are indoors, very much indoors.
True.
We have a lot of gadgets. We are so busy. I think there's a lot of noise. There's a lot of noise going on, but the noise of nature in our lives is not present. So something like that. Technology should not really take hold of us.
That's true. That is so
true. I'm not saying technology is an enemy. Technology can be used in a good way, but too much of everything, I think, then, you know, yes.
No, thank you so much for that. Thank you so much for that. You know, when an anthropologist looks at an arrowhead, right, those that study human, you know, history and so forth and study humanity, when they look at an arrowhead, they go to an archaeologist dig and they see an arrowhead from hundreds of years ago, they immediately draw a conclusion that somebody intelligent made this. In fact, they can then say, no, it means by this age we were not able to make certain tools. Why do we often hesitate to draw the same conclusion when we look at the solar system and say, oh, wait a minute, if we see this, then clearly someone intelligent or something intelligent made this. It didn't just exist out of nowhere. When we see the moon's precise size and its distance away from our planet and how this controls the waves and the sea tides and so forth, which perfectly stabilizes everything, and the earth's tilt controlled by this as well, it creates the exact conditions for life. Is there any possibility at all that it happened by chance? Why is that we as believers would want to call that a pointer to God, but those that are sometimes learned in the sciences would want to say, no, this is evidence that things have just happened by themselves. But just when we see something here on earth, we say, ah, this means that the older humans were smart. Talk to us about how this dichotomy works. Yeah.
Yeah, you know, I really like this question, that question, because, you know, as you are looking at nature, as you are looking at the way you have explained everything very well, and how the scientists have been digging, maybe they find the fossils and they're like, oh, something must have happened. We tend to forget something, you know. One thing I agree with scientists is that, I think you mentioned something, if I'm not mistaken, you mentioned to say, actually, scientists, let me just read what you have said. You've said something very intriguing. We need to, you know, as you are trying to explain something to someone, you have to agree on a point that you have mentioned.
Okay.
And one thing I agree on what they have said, on what a scientist have said, is that indeed it shows that an intelligent being created all these things.
Yeah.
Because how in the world can someone as infinite, I mean, as finite as I, can create all these constellations and the moon and the... And everything just seems to come exactly at the point that it needs to come. The sun rises exactly at the point that it needs to rise. The moon comes and it's full at the point that it needs to be full. The stars shine and all that. I agree with scientists to say not just a normal being should have created these things.
Yeah.
And remember, these are intelligent people, scientists. I can't
we
even
hope so.
compare myself. Yeah, I can't even compare myself to them. These are very intelligent people. Now, I want to draw two scientists. I want to come to draw attention to two scientists. We have Newton. I think we are all aware of Newton, Isaac Newton, and there's Einstein. These are one of the best and powerful scientists that have ever lived.
Okay.
You will be shocked that Newton, well, according to history, Newton is regarded as someone who was a Christian. But, you know, it's that thing of he's a Christian, but yet he's a scientist. So he has two conflicting ideas, trying to make meaning of, find out meaning out of something. He comes up with the law of gravity. You know, when something goes up, it comes down, and he's trying to understand what is going on. But there's something that he says. You know, science usually describes the how, meaning the mechanics. You know, the blood pumps. We open our eyes. We blink. How many times?
Yeah.
Science does that. It explains the how, the mechanics, and all. But then he says, faith in this case, we're talking about everything to do with spirituality and God. Faith addresses the why. Why do these things happen? I mean, why does the sun rise in the morning? For what? Who created the sun then?
Yeah.
Why are these things happening? Okay, why are the seasons? Why do seasons come and seasons go? Why? All those things are not answered by science. Science will tell you the mechanisms of, there is pollution, or rather there's pollination, the what is the transfer of the what to the what. I've even forgotten that definition.
Yeah.
But it will tell you the how, this happens, but why? And then that's where God comes in.
Yeah.
So the possibility that something or the solar system can come by chance, I highly doubt it.
It can't be. It can't
because
be.
How can we wrap our heads around just the possibility that something happens at random? Because if things were happening at random, I think maybe even a stone can just pop out of nowhere where you are there, Derek, and just hit you. If things were to happen at random. But I don't think so. There should be someone orchestrating something somewhere.
Yeah. And does this understanding
doing it.
Does this understanding encourage you more to study science? I mean, like, does science point you closer to the creator? Or do you feel like once you start doing a lot of faith, you start losing your science and your understanding of it, and these two are not working together? Or actually, do they actually complement each other, that the more you look at the world and better understand it, the more closer you feel to the God who created everything?
So now you know the reason why science usually sometimes draws people away from the creator. The more we look at it, the more it's because we want to put answers on ourselves to why these things have happened.
Okay.
And I think as scientists, usually most of the scientists who tend to draw away to say, no, it's something that happened, the world just evolved and whatnot. It's because we want to put answers on our own to the why all these things happen. We know, actually, you know, it's that thing where, why am I speaking like I'm a scientist? Okay, they know that this and that happen, like this and that, you know? They know that when you eat your food, you chew your food, it gets digested, it goes to the stomach, it passes through the esophagus, it goes to the stomach, it gets digested by the hydrochloric acid, it goes to the intestines. They know. But usually when something happens, maybe there's a problem somewhere, they want to explain it. Meanwhile, in our finite minds, we're unable to. And that's when we go, just trying to find answers to the why all these things are happening.
Yeah, that's my question then, to say, so what is, in your case, what is the relationship? Is it that we must leave science and pursue faith, or that actually the better we understand science, the more we are drawn to the creator?
Oh, that question. I think, okay, if you were to ask me, Martha, I think if you were to ask me, science in a way, I think we can all attest to say, science in a way has helped us come out of a certain ignorance, and actually has helped many of us to live day-to-day lives today. You know that when you throw something up, it will definitely come down. Science has explained that. On how and like what is happening.
Yeah.
So I think in a way, science has helped us remove certain ignorance. On top of that, faith helps us to understand even further of that ignorance that has been removed from us. So the ignorance is not even knowing how things happen. But if you're able to know how things happen, you have wisdom. Okay. And even the Bible says, you know, in the time that will come, people will be making a lot of things, will be so wise and whatnot. But we also understand that the wisdom of men is foolishness to man. But again, in a way, science has helped, but we shouldn't really put all our eggs in one box to science, so the science will explain even the why, when faith alone is the one that is able to explain.
Yeah, which is why I'm asking, what's your understanding of the two? Are you saying they're two different boxes? Because I see you're struggling to put them together.
I'm struggling, but like I said, science should complement.
It has its place. Okay.
It shouldn't reach an extent where it draws us away. If it draws us away, then it ceases to even, it shouldn't even be pursued if it draws us away from God. I think something like that.
They
You know,
must be
it's a very
complementing
tough
each
question,
other.
but it should complement. Yes, it should complement.
No, I'll take that. I'll take that. Well, thank you so much, Sister Martha. Any final thoughts as we conclude our lesson?
The final thoughts that I have are these. Like I've mentioned, there are two people, the two scientists that I've brought in the picture. And there's Newton and Einstein. I like how both of them have explained the laws of science, maybe with force, gravity, and all those things. We're able to know, we have knowledge of those things. But there's one thing that, you know, Einstein says, to say, yeah, I know that all these things have happened, and I'm finding it hard to understand if someone just made them out of the blues or they just came by chance. But I do not really believe that they came by chance. So it means that this God that I've been hearing about is not a God that plays dice. I don't know if you've gotten that. He says God does not play dice.
Yeah.
You know what you do to dice? You throw, it's like you're just random, like, oh, whatever happens, whatever happens. Now, this is Einstein saying these words. He says, meaning, for the stars to be put arrayed properly in the way they are, and the sun to come exactly at the point it needs to come, and the planets to be arrayed the way they are, meaning God does not play dice. That's Einstein speaking. Meaning, he's saying, there is no way random things can happen out of nowhere. There's no chance. There's no chance. And then Newton, on the other hand, he says, God, when I look at nature, he says, God is the first cause. You know that cause and effect thing? So he says, I'm looking at the effect of gravity and all these things. I'm thinking to myself, then where does all this come from? Meaning God is the cause of all these things. Now, these are scientists talking about this. Intelligent people, wise people. So I do believe, even up to now, that God created the heavens and the earth, and he is the maker of every creation. There's no doubt about it. Who can even hold the sun where it is? What if it falls to us? But he's holding it. Imagine if it was by chance. What if the sun just falls, and it burns all the planet? But on the other hand, science has explained to say they know the earth round and whatnot. But who's hoarding all those things? There should be someone. And that is God. I think the only explanation is God. And there's another presenter who said something. I liked what he said to say. Faith, I mean, faith is not science. If we take faith as science, then, wait. He said something. He says, faith is mysterious and is mysterious, and we're unable to explain it. If we explain faith, then it begins to become science. So it's like we cannot really, some things are mysterious. And that's why God is also mysterious in his own way. So if faith is explained, then it begins to be science.
Well, thank you so much, Sister Martha. We want to just appreciate you for talking to us and being with us in this lesson right here. May God bless you, and to each other again next time.
Well, thank you so much.
All righty then. That's our guest for the week in our Scripture Spotlight, talking about our Bible principles, right? This is a voice of prophecy lesson in our Scripture Spotlight. Getting a comment on our WhatsApp line as we conclude. Someone said, God speaks and then science runs to catch up to his word. What's your take on all this? We want to hear your thoughts and your comments.
Do you want to take part in a Bible study that can help you understand the Bible better? Tune in to Glorious Morning every Thursday and Friday at 7:20 a.m. and on Maranatha Drive every Monday and Tuesday at 4 p.m. for an interactive Bible study. Through these studies, you can find answers for facing the issues and challenges you deal with every day. You can also find these studies on www.voiceofprophecy.com.